Well, data insights show women still earn less despite working the same jobs as their male counterparts. According to the year's Global Gender Gap report, South Africa is falling short when it comes to narrowing the gender pay gap. The country is ranked at 123rd out of 146 countries for wage equity for similar work. We speak now with Zanele Njapa, who's unlearning expert and innovation facilitator at Tomorrow Today. We're talking income disparity and what organizations can do to improve that income gap. Zanele, it's 2022. Why are we still having this conversation?
I know, right? Goodness. It's just one of those things. It really is one of those conversations we feel like we're always going to be having. And especially in South Africa, I think you highlighted some of those insights quite well. We are still sitting at between 23% and 35% with our median gender pay gap at the moment. But it is still almost exacerbated in the South African context by the fact that up to 40%, actually more than 40% of South African mothers are single parents. And I think that contextually as a country, we've got all of these almost underlying systems that almost make it just a little bit harder for us to navigate this as individuals, but also as organizations.
Now, there are different regulations. I mean, like the Employment Equity Code, no person may unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against an employee in any employment policy or practice on whether they are in terms of race, gender, sex, and, you know, in terms of pay. Why are companies getting away with this, even if there are regulations in place in South Africa to make sure that that gender pay gap, decreases?
I think one of the things, so we can look at it in almost a twofold approach. One of the things is the organizations actually having regulatory systems within the organization so that those particular systems and laws are actually kept up with. So how much is the organization actually making it mandatory for those things to be upheld? But the other side of it, and this is where I think most of the work comes in, Motewa, is with the individual. Because a lot of us work in these amazing organizations that we work in, but we have almost this misunderstanding around how much we can ask for, around what it means to be paid well, but also that there is this disparity in our workplaces in the first place. Because still today, this conversation around money and earning is still an almost taboo subject in most places.
I mean, Zanele, you did say more than 40% of South African women are single mothers and run single-headed households. So I would guess they are negotiating from a weak point or a weak place when they speak to some of these companies. And I think the main thing there would be trying to keep the job instead of trying to push the employer for more pay.
Absolutely. That does become the biggest conversation then. But you see, the thing is, with that being the bigger conversation, women are constantly losing. Earlier on, I spoke about some really interesting insights that cause our context to be quite different. And one of them is around how women actually are living a lot longer than men. So as a result of that living longer, we are needing to then receive a lot more health care over this almost 10 years that we live longer than our male counterparts. You're also seeing that woman-headed households are about 40% poorer than those that are headed by males in South Africa. So all of the context, really, like you're saying, cause women in the workplace today to go, you know what, it's better for me to just keep quiet. But then in the long run, what starts to happen is that when we hold the shorter end of the stick, then we really start to feel the pinch of not asking for more, of not having the conversations, and of not taking this almost leadership role around what it means to earn, but also to be well compensated in the workplace.
But it's not the place of women to try and get themselves paid more. It's the companies that need to do that. They've got the money. They know they have the great talent and some of these women in these companies. But why are they continuing, you know, on this scale of pay between men and women, even for the same jobs?
I like what you say, but it's not the role. And I want to almost prod here and almost play devil's advocate, because what we're seeing is almost this role of these two counterparts that we've mentioned. So it's the organization on one end, and it is the individual on the other end, the woman in this particular case. So yes, some organizations, and I mean a lot of great organizations that I've worked with that are having these conversations, but also are running things like your pay equity audits to find out, do we have disparities? What do those look like? How do we start to even look at our hiring processes to iron out some of the kinks that we have that lead to this in the first place? But what's happening, like you've so well said, is that some organizations are not doing it. And when we find that that's the case, it does then start to fall to the individual to say, what can I do then to challenge the status quo? And usually it does start with that awareness, because we sit in these organizations and we have no idea that we're under-earning, or that when we compare ourselves to our male counterparts, we are actually holding the shorter end of the stick. So I love what you say around how organizations really do have the bigger role to play here. So if you are an organization and you're listening to this, it's about time that you start to think about your systems and procedures, or you're going to get a nice push from your women to say, why are you not doing something?
I read a research report that was done in the United States where women and men were given the same script to negotiate for higher pay. You know, and employers were made to answer a survey. And in that survey, employers said women were too stern, too pushy. And both women and men actually use the same script. And, you know, still employers feel that women shouldn't be asking for that much. And if they do, they're seen as people who have too much of an attitude. You know, how do we change these perceptions from employers, especially in terms of human capital?
Exactly. I love that piece of research, because you do start to seem as almost forthright or demanding as a woman when you come across to ask for what you deserve, because our male counterparts have been seen, and from that same piece of research, as individuals who have that almost innate confidence around asking for what they want. But with us, because, and just to go back to what we were saying right in the beginning, with us, a lot of the time, there has been this constant idea around the woman playing a supporting role, whether it's in the household or also at work. And so as the almost our work landscape has changed in terms of the kind of work women can now do, but also the kind of space that they spaces that they could play in, we're now seeing women starting to feel that there is an opportunity, or that this should be the case. So I think some really important things to think about here, yeah, as organizations start to reimagine what this could look like is, like I said, starting off with the pay equity audit, just to see what your systems are looking like, finding your inconsistencies, look at individuals across the same roles, across the same experiences,
yeah,
and what are those things looking like? Because sometimes it does start with awareness around what's not working.
Look, I hope these companies unlearn some of this behavior. Zanele Njapa, unlearning expert and innovation facilitator at Tomorrow Today. Insights coming out showing that men usually retire on 35% of their final pay, while women retire on about 9 to 26%. So that definitely needs to change, and companies should be coming to the fore.